The woman from today's gospel speaks the same words that are at the depths of our hearts. So often we also cry out for justice. We want a just decision. We want some justice rendered, or decision that would then lead to healing again. But in order to really grasp what she's doing, let's put ourselves in that story. Let us become that woman. Because we can take pretty much all of our lives in all the different situations we have and put it into the story of the woman, asking the same question. What is she asking a decision for? It's not named. It's left vague so that we can do that. Maybe she has someone who's been slandering her, treating her poorly, making fun of her, or defaming her in the midst of the public square, and she's had enough of it. So she goes to the judge and says, "Render a decision for me. Who is right in this? I want to know so I can move on." Or maybe, one day, coming home from the market, she finds her house broken into and all her stuff stolen. She goes to the judge and says, "Fix this problem. My stuff is gone and I need a decision against the person who stole it from me." Or maybe she's in the middle of a family dispute where the family is feuding against each other, and maybe even one murdered another. What is she going to do? How is she going to get justice? She goes to the judge. And so she wants a just decision. Do you see how you can take pretty much any of our situations in life where we cry out with the same voice that she does, "I want justice," and apply it to this passage? Go to the judge and say, "Help me." For that reason, what I want to focus on today is the virtue of justice. It's one that we talk a lot about, but we don't get a chance to explore. Justice is actually very complicated. It has two main focuses to it. The first focus is to realize that justice leads to the building up of society. It leads to healing. That's the goal of justice. Justice isn't about me. It's about how do I bring all these parts together and allow us to move forward after problems have been caused. How do I bring healing and justice back to the society? The second point is that justice propels us upwards. It's not about what I think is right or what we want to collectively agree on. There's something out there that really does bring healing. There's some truth which justice is founded on. Which is why the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in a statement I thought was odd until I reflected on it, said this: the virtue of justice is connected with the virtue of religion. I pause on that one for a moment. I want you to pause too. Why is it connected with religion? The answer is very simple. True justice only comes when there's eternal laws. True justice can only be rendered when we realize it's not our legal system that can do it right, but when we listen to God and let Him into our lives, and let Him change who we are, and let Him bring healing. That's why it's connected with religion. It's a necessary part of who we are. So in this way, as we reflect on the virtue of justice, I encourage you to think through this. What is God's laws? How do we live them? How do we work together, not for my sake, but for the good of society? Also, another reason why I like this passage, because it brings those two things together. Here we have the dishonest judge, who very clearly says, "I don't fear God or anyone. Law is mine. I can do whatever I want with it." And yet she goes to him for just decision. And yet the woman is someone who should be inspiring to us. She's not saying, "I want to win," or "tell me that that person's wrong," or "show me that I need to hurt that person." It's not vengeance. She just wants justice. She wants the situation done and healed, which is where we should be too. As St. Paul tells us in Timothy, Scripture can be a great source for us to understand what justice looks like. Wonderful passage comes from 2 Samuel, where we have David, the great king, the highest person in all of Israel, basically almost like God to the Israelites. So he's walking along one day, and he has his entourage of military people and servants following with him. As he's walking, this guy starts throwing rocks at him and saying, "You're a horrible man. If only they knew what terrible things you had done." Could you imagine if the president was walking down the street and someone was throwing rocks at him? Now you get a sense of it. So this guy is throwing rocks at him as he's walking down the street. So one of his soldiers comes up and says, "With one strike, I can cut his head off. Want me to do it?" And David said, "No. In case he's right and I'm wrong, then I deserve this. So let him do what he wishes so that God can be the one to make justice." The book of Revelation is another one that's trying for us. With all of its immense imagery and cataclysmic events, there is one thing that pervades it. God's justice will prevail. And what does God's justice look like? It's actually not destruction, but healing. By working through fire and through all the things of the book of Revelation, the end goal is that the world is restored, that people can be right in relationships again, namely with Him. That's the focus. That after all that, restoration is the goal. So where does this leave us? That's always the big question. How do we bring justice into our world? Let's start from the big grand scale that we almost can't touch, the sociological scale. What do we do on a society level to bring justice? Well, in our country, we have our legal system, which you can go whatever direction you want with it. Its goal, its purpose, is to allow us to have just decisions that we can heal and bring restoration to broken relationships. Does it function that way? You can figure out how you want to go with that one. A few examples may help you understand the challenges we face. For instance, in prison systems, they're predominantly Latino and Black, just the way they are right now. The reasons for that are manifold. But one reason we often forget is that in order to win a case or to do well in the legal system, you need money. And those who are on the lower levels of society don't have enough to pay for good lawyers, so they tend to have decisions against them than for them. It's an unfortunate consequence that we should be fighting against. In a similar way, the media really does challenge our sense of justice. So often, they already pronounce a judgment on someone before the court case is done, which is where we have to be careful and wait. We should be, in some way, complicit with our legal system and waiting for that decision so that we act justly. If we just all of a sudden condemn someone, we are hurting them. We're not letting justice be rendered. And so we have to be careful and wait. Justice requires patience, that we wait out to see the truth. I know it's been part of our media coverage recently about the Supreme Court. Now, however you think about the Supreme Court, the situation is still there. That is our highest court system, and the one that should be instilling justice across our land. So in many ways, we have to be careful that we use our reason, our logic, to read through what's going on, to hear the legal arguments. And it's not just, do I like or dislike, or what party or what not, but what am I listening to? What is the reasoning behind it? How am I encouraging justice through the gifts I already have of reason, logic, and our legal system as it is? These are some of the ways on the big grand scale that we can start to look at justice in our society. But really, the place where we're going to have the greatest impact is in our own personal lives. How do I live my own life justly? And there's three areas in our lives in which we struggle with justice. That would be judgmentalism, slander, and gossip. Those are three acts of injustice. In the way of judgmentalism, what we do is we jump to conclusions. We immediately assume a certain outcome without giving ourselves the time to think through it. Is that right? Is that just? Is that what really happened? So we must challenge ourselves when we jump to conclusions. What is truly just? What did happen? How do I live my life so that I can see what truth is? Slander is very similar to it. Instead of jumping to conclusions, we decide to jump to conclusions about a person and destroy them, tarnish their character, ruin them within our society, usually out of like vengeance or frustration or anger. That's usually where it comes from. Slander is terrible because it breaks relationships, it hurts people's reputations, and breaks down society, much like gossip. Gossip's a challenging one. Most of the time we fall into gossip out of almost complicity. Someone else is speaking poorly about someone, so we just kind of join them and go along with it. But what does gossip do? Hurts reputations, hurts people's lives, breaks relationships. Same basic concept. We are judging someone unfairly based on what we think they should be. And so this is where we're challenged. Justice, the virtue of justice, challenges us to build the other virtues connected with it. Humility. Do I have all the answers? Do I know what's going on? Do I know the life of this person well enough? Can I really make a just decision yet? That is humility. Prudence. How ought I to act? What's the proper way of acting in society? What are we to do? And wisdom. What is right? What is truth? What ought I to do? With these virtues all working together, we can really build a just society. And a just society works towards one end. Peace. It works towards healing relationships. It works to bringing God back into our world, that we may know truth, that we may know what's right, and we may instill the virtue of justice. So I encourage you, Reflect on this virtue in your own life. What does it look like? Where does it challenge you? How does it encourage you to grow and develop? And how is God inspiring you to work towards good, to help people out, and to build a world that is true justice?